This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Sorry, I thought I was going to have to get dressed up for this.
He did.
Tomorrow, the stuff we're doing is on camera.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it was a safe flight, a good flight, you know what I mean? That's the way I look at it. How is everybody? Good?
So you're human in the underworld with lots of lycans, vampires.
Mm-hmm.
What's that dynamic like though? I mean, are you basically like a regular detective would normally see, or is it something very different about the humans in this world? What we've seen, or?
Yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, from what I've seen and what I've done so far, there's not a lot that's different, really, in terms of this world. It is a little bit different, but I'm about as normal as it comes, I guess, which is kind of boring, you know. When I told people, or when people found out that I got this movie, the first thing they say, are you going to be a lycan? And I'm like, no. And then they're like, well, you're going to be a vampire. And it's like, no. And so you just get like, it's like, well, what are you? Like you couldn't be human for some reason. And I think I am that guy. So hopefully I can get bit or something.
But Michael, how does your character reconcile the real world of, you know, drug dealers, murderers, human criminals,
mm-hmm.
with this fantasy world of vampires and werewolves?
It's a good question. You know, I think for my character, it's you know, because he's a cop and not like a plumber, you know, I think he can kind of handle the difference. You know, I think to him, you know, the bad guys are the bad guys, and you know, whether they're vampires, lycans, or whatever, if they're killing people, he needs to get involved. So, you know, for me, the dynamic doesn't change simply because he's a cop.
Talk about how you kind of come into the story, how you relate to Kate Beckinsale's character in the film, and just...
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
How you kind of come into the story, how you relate with Kate Beckinsale's character in the film, and just kind of your trajectory in the movie. And...
Okay.
Just so you're comfortable.
How much can I say?
Yeah. We are embargoing all the information until such time that Screen Gems releases it. So you can speak quite comfortably, but obviously not give away the ending or specific plot points.
Who lives, who dies, stuff
exactly.
Like that. Okay. Just tap me if I go too far. I basically come into the project, and this actually ties into your question. I come into the project... just like any other cop would, there's an investigation of a body. And, you know, it's body found, investigate. And, you know, once we look at it, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this body and I'm recognizing, you know, what really happened here. And, you know, there's other cops, you know, circling around and stuff. And my partner is starting to throw out, you know, the suggestion that this has lichen written all over it and what have you, and you know, I tend to brush that off and you know, and just try to investigate it kind of on my own because of my own interaction with vampires and lichens. I am trying to kind of, I end up spawning my own investigation. Okay, I can say that, yeah. Spawning like my own kind of personal investigation, and that's how I get involved with Kate, almost, really, Kate's character, Celine. It's kind of by default. We both end up being on the same side, slowly but surely.
We do know that she's kind of like, comes out of cryogenic sleep, and she's kind of like trying to figure out what happened in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And I was really curious, because I feel like that, I'm a little confused by like how... Because we've seen this world with lycans and vampires for three movies,
mm-hmm.
and we haven't really seen any humans. We haven't really seen them interact with humans at all.
Mm-hmm.
So in this world, are the humans actually aware of the lycans? Are you one of the only humans aware of lycans, or is it sort of like just kind of like a theories?
In this world, there's not a lot of people that are aware of this.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the lycans are extinct. They are extinct, and so people don't believe that they're around. I mean, if we just thought that, you know, terrorism was gone now, you know, that terrorism was extinct, then, you know, we would all be kidding ourselves. And I think that's kind of the approach for Sebastian, is he knows, he has evidence that this, that these people, these creatures are still out here, and that they're still taking the lives and they're still feeding on the human race. So that's really kind of, I mean, I guess that's the whole purpose of my characters, to try and bring that human element that wasn't, that hasn't been there in the other films.
So often in films, the role of cops, they're basically detective exposition. You know, like, what's going on here? Well, let me tell you. And then give them the whole thing. How much of that is going on, or is it more, is it, does the that information get passed along to the audience in a more organic way?
I certainly feel like it's pretty organic. I mean, it's, yes, there is some, you know, exposition that has to come out, but it's more in how to solve the case. And this particular cop, Sebastian, has his own, like I said, he has his own storyline. He has his own reason for why he's personally involved and why he's keeping this quiet from his peers. From his other human peers, you know. So that's good. Okay. So that is, you know, that's how it comes out. It, to me, it comes out pretty naturally. And you know, if I do my job right, then you won't even feel like it's exposition. You know, and that's kind of the joy of this. Actually, yes, he's a cop, and so there is a sense of justice that has to be involved. But it's not good versus evil so much as there's a thin line between the two. And I think for Sebastian, you know, yes, he's a cop, but we haven't, have we seen, there's no cops really in any of the other movies, right? There were like the,
most of the humans are
the guards in the
away, right?
Yeah, there were some guards or something in the second one, but it hasn't really, you're right, there haven't been a lot of human interaction. Yeah.
Here, there's a big, like three big action set pieces in this. I would imagine, are you in any of them?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about? Yeah. Okay. Can you talk about filming some of the action and also working with these red 3D epic cameras?
Well, the action stuff for me, unfortunately, begins today. So I can't give you much in terms of what it's been like shooting, because all of my action stuff starts in the next couple, today and over the next couple of weeks.
So you're involved in the big finale.
I'm involved in some of the action pieces. Yes, that's what I can say. You know what I mean?
They know that we're moving into the finale sequences now.
Okay,
they
cool. Yes,
they don't know who's fighting who.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, I am involved in the finale.
You wouldn't be involved with 12-foot Uber lichens.
And that's okay too, because they know that the Uber Lycan and Kate are fighting in that final sequence.
Okay.
And that, yeah.
No, I don't. I don't get involved with the Uber Lycan.
We would like to. I'm sorry.
That's a big dude.
He's biting your nails.
You know, I mean, like I said, I'm trying to get bit, but not by him. He's a monster. But yeah, no. But so far, the cameras. I mean, I will say this about the cameras. It's a whole different, I've never been one to watch playback. Never, never, never. And the first day, the director, one of the directors, Bjorn, comes out, and he comes out of one of the many tents that are on this production, and he has on these white glasses, like these white rimmed glasses, and he looks like he's like going hiking or something, you know what I mean? And I was just like, why is he wearing those ridiculous-looking glasses on set? I didn't, you know, I thought maybe it was a Swedish thing. I didn't understand it. And then I realized that they watch everything in 3D. They watch all of the, every take, they watch it in actual 3D. So everybody in that tent, from all the producers to the director, they all have these glasses on. And that was jarring to me. And then on top of that, when you actually go in there and see the footage, I've never seen anything like it. I just haven't. It's, and I haven't even done some of the creature stuff yet. So it's special. You know what I mean? It's a slower process. It's a much slower process, but I think at this point they've got the hang of it, and it's probably a little bit faster, but you just can't do as much work in one night as you can with 2D.
And we have to say that Michael's prior work on set was the first week of the show.
Yeah, I was here like the first week.
Yeah.
Like first shot or second,
so
first
or second shot. If you speed it up, you're going to be pleased.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, it would take like, you know, 20 minutes to change a lens. And, you know, last time I was here like a week or 2 weeks ago, it was much faster. But it's just it's a slower process, but the cameras are fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I can't wait to see it.
How much... We've been hearing a lot today from the filmmakers about practical effects. You know that they're doing a lot of practical, as much practical as possible, along with CGI. As an actor in this fantasy world, how much are you seeing when you do scenes of vampires and werewolves? How much do you see a practical that you could look at and react to, and how much is just your imagination with CGI and stuff like that?
So far, I haven't. I've only seen the creatures walking around at base camp, you know, smoking cigarettes and drinking Gatorade, which is weird. How you doing? It's bizarre, but I haven't interacted with the creatures yet, so I couldn't tell you what that's like.
Now, you see, it seems like a lot of your movies you've done over the years, For Color Girls and like the Spike Lee movie, it's very based reality. Mm-hmm. It was not genre stuff, it was not action stuff, it was not like horror fantasy. Mm-hmm. So coming to this must be very different. What's it like? Are you a fan of this kind of genre stuff? What's the big draw to do something like this, which is just so different from those other things?
That's the big draw.
Okay, there you go.
It is so different. I'm not a sci-fi guy. I never really cared about vampires. You know, I've always thought vampires interesting because they live forever. They're always well financed. They dress well. You know what I mean? And they're like cool. They're very, very, usually vampire. You've never seen a broke vampire. Have you?
Yeah.
No.
Well, if you live forever, let's actually get used to it. You know that money. You live that long.
Yeah, you've got long money. You've got old money. But it's one of those things where, you know, for me, it was just a great opportunity to go into a different genre and experience. To me, this has all been a great experience in learning how things are done on a much grander scale, and so for me, yeah, I mean, dealing with creatures and people flying and stuff, it's fantastic. It's like, I mean, listen, I play pretend for a living, and this is just going into a whole new world of fantasy for me, you know, because you're right, most of my material is grounded in reality, and so it's not as fantastical. You know what I mean? As a production like this.
Could you talk a little bit about how you got involved in the in the film? Was it like a part you went after? Did they come after you?
Basically, you know, I had done Takers with Screen Gems, so they kind of called me and said, you know, are you interested? There's a part. And I read the script and was like, hell yeah. Let's do it. You know what I mean? I love the character. I love his circumstances. I thought he brought some gravitas to the whole special creature fantasy world, and it was just a big challenge. Again, going into a 3D movie, like a real 3D movie. That was all just challenging to me, you know, and it was like, let's do it. You haven't done it, let's do it.
What's it like working with the sexiest woman alive? As voted by the readers, as far as...
Yeah, it's, you know, better than you can imagine.
You know? Somebody that you're the sexiest black man alive?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. She told us.
She told us to ask me about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. The thing I noticed about Kate first off, was she's like so cool off camera, and she's so into this character that literally she can be talking about golf, and then they say action, and the switch is like schizophrenic. It's like crazy. She just, boom, she's Celine. And she gives you just as much on camera as she does off camera. So when she's off camera, she's giving you Celine full heart. There's no holding back or anything like that. She's a total professional. And as an actor who's doing this kind of movie for the first time, I appreciate that, truly, because she could easily be like, I don't really want to do it full on. You know what I mean? But she's such a professional. And, you know, that means more to me.
Are you all jealous of the other actors? Because at least she gets to wear the latex. You have all these guys running around in these suits and these cool like helmets and all this other stuff. And you have all the lichens and all this stuff. You're basically just wearing your suit and tie. And is there any kind of like outfit jealousy or anything going on with the other actors? You're very happy to be here.
Again, vampires, well-dressed, well-financed, you know, the coolest guns, whatever you want to call it. I drive a Volvo, something out of a John Hughes film, and, which is freaky to me, but, you know, I like standing out, yes, I'm wearing a suit, it's a European cut, and, there, after this, I'm sure I'll do something else where I can, you know, put on a long leather trench coat or something and some boots and fly or something like that. But right now, I'm cool. This has been a great experience for me.
You mentioned that this is the first time you're doing a project like this. Mm-hmm. As an actor, did you do anything special to get ready for the role? Obviously, I'm sure you watched the other films, but do you do research into detectives? I mean, like, could you talk about what you did?
Not much. Simply because I've played law enforcement enough to know what a detective, FBI, CIA agent thinks. You know, at this point, unless I'm playing like a CIA agent overseas, I pretty much got it. You know what I mean? In terms of the psyche of law enforcement. I literally just came off a project where I was playing a detective. So, I mean, literally. Like, I finished that on Friday, flew here on Saturday, started shooting on Monday. So in terms of research, it was done. It was pretty much done in terms of how they think. And again, interestingly enough, there's not a lot of detective work for Sebastian to do because he's trying to keep so much of it inside for his personal reasons.
I'm very curious about these personal reasons.
I know, but I'm not trying to get fired.
I'll be happier that it's a surprise.
Interesting.
If your character survives the film, or even if he doesn't survive because it's fantasy, would you like to do another one?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Have you thought of the direction that you'd like to see him go? Have you, mentioned any of this to the filmmakers?
No. No. I mean, I've just been telling people to let me get bit. that way you can keep going.
Right.
You know, once you get bit, there's no stopping you, really. You know, and that's,
as far as the
that's like the awesome part.
As far as the directors, I mean, how do they differ from each other? I mean, does one work very differently from the other, and that kind of thing? Have you noticed any big differences between them and the way that they work? Because I know they alternate days.
They alternate days, but they really are a two-headed monster. They think alike. They really do. I've never seen them disagree. I haven't. But, they said it from the beginning. Like, I'm closer to him than I am to my own family. So, they're like, we love it this way. And despite only working with one at a time, they're both there. So they really are kind of like, it's like having twins, really. It really is. So it doesn't bother me at all. You know, the good thing that they said would happen up front is we'll never get tired. And it's true. They both have tons of energy every day. So, and I've told some of my friends who are directors the same, you know, what's happening, and they're like, oh, that would be awesome. That would be so awesome. You know what I mean? Just because you don't, it can wear you out, you know? So, that's been good.
A big part of the first two movies was a romance between Celine and Scott Speedman's character. Mm-hmm. Are you taking that kind of role a little bit? Is any kind of that, or is that something, is there a romance there, or is it, that something you're looking at the publicist, I'm assuming, you can't find it?
Did you ask Kate the same question?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in your mind, there is, in her mind, there isn't. That just
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
In my mind. yes, in my mind. No, there's no real, no real romance, I don't think.
Is there sexual tension? And does it become so strong that they just can't fight it anymore?
I'd like to think there is. You know what I mean? I mean, ask yourself this. Can there be real sexual tension? I mean, I know it happened, obviously, in the second one, but you're like a vampire and a human. That'd be interesting, you know, to make a child. I'd like to think that there's some sexual tension, and maybe I can implement it into some scenes, but I don't think it's there on the page, per se, no.
Big part of, we talked with everyone else about the whole Comic-Con thing. Have you been there before?
You know what's funny? A friend of mine did a show, a television show on, I don't even remember what network it was, years ago, when Comic-Con wasn't what it is today. And I actually went with him down to San Diego. He's like, yo, just come with me because I don't know what to expect. So I just went to see what it was like. And it was fascinating. And so, yes, I've been, but not with a project. I have not been with a project like, you know, this is my project, you know. But I have seen what it's like. And it's I see why the studios are, like, obsessed with having their projects there. You get that groundswell, that buzz, that word of mouth. You get people going, they get really excited off of the trailers. So.
But more than that, Underworld was born there. Underworld, that was a launching point for Underworld.
Was it really?
It was, yeah. They started to play Comic-Con, and then it was like, that's what created the buzz.
Yeah. See? I would love to go. It just seems like so much fun. You know, that day that I went down, I was like, how come I've never heard of this? You know, but I didn't grow up a big comic book guy, so I didn't.
What is your background?
In terms of.
So you said you didn't grow up as a comic book guy, and you're not a fan of
sci-fi and stuff like that.
So where's your head at as far as that goes?
You know, I honestly, man, and I've said this before, I think I sought out acting to find drama in my life because I didn't have a lot of drama growing up. Very normal, boring childhood. And so sci-fi never really, or comic books, I never felt like I was escaping to some other world. I was just like, that's just weird, you know. But and I was much more into sports as a kid. Sports and, interestingly enough, architecture. So that, you know, sci-fi never really did it for me. I used to love the Star Trek movies, you know, Wrath of Khan and stuff like that. Loved those movies when I was a kid. And Star Wars, obviously, was hands down probably, you know, I mean, I had the sheets. I was a big fan of that.
It just seems incongruous to say, you know, when you say I had a great childhood and I was all into sports, but here you are an actor.
Yeah.
There seems a disconnect there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It's weird. Like I said, I think I got in. To this day, I ask myself. I mean, they would never do a biography about me when I'm old because it's just not going to be interesting. But I felt like I sought out drama. A lot of actors, I think, go into acting for therapy, from whatever trauma that has affected them as children. But for me, I think I sought out the drama. I think I really wanted to. That's why I like doing what I do. I love it because I get to go into somebody else's world and be somebody else for 3 months, 2 months, or 2 years, whatever it is, and just live in their shoes and live with their circumstances that may or may not relate to mine. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, in this particular one, I mean, my circumstances in this, the stakes are high. The stakes are high and emotional. And, you know, and I think that's where the tension between me and Celine come from, you know, is my past and what she represents to my past.
Have you had a chance to do a sports movie? Have you been looking at all doing kind of sports movies? Obviously, it seems like that would be like the...
Oh, man. Dude. I've been dying to do a sports movie. I definitely, you know, after Takers, I was all about action. Let me get an action. I just want to be the next action guy. And sports movies, you know, obviously, I was a pretty pure athlete growing up. There wasn't a sport I couldn't play. And I don't say that out of arrogance. I just couldn't actually play everything. But ultimately, I think they've had too many boxing movies at this point. And, you know, football movies and basketball movies, you know. So I don't know what's left, you know. Maybe a tennis movie, you know. But definitely at this point, yeah, I'd like to get in one before it's all said and done, you know. I really would. Just a good classic sports film. I mean, I wish I could have done Friday Night Lights. Man, I really wish I could have.
Do you like hockey?
No.
You're probably the only one out there that goes that way.
I know. And being in Vancouver, believe me.
What a culture shock being here. With
let me tell you, man. Yeah. Last night, I'm trying to find the NBA Finals, and all I'm seeing is hockey. And then that sport with the thing, man.
Curling.
Oh, my goodness, man. If I grew up here, I'm sure I'd love this. You know what I mean? But it's playoff time, people. It's playoff time. Let's see some basketball. And yeah, you can catch the highlights on their version of SportsCenter. But yeah, it's a little bit painful. But
Like a minute at the end, it's like, oh, by the way, in basketball.
Yeah, they're not as excited about it. You know what I mean? And I asked one of the Teamsters one time, I said, what happened to the, you know, what happened? Why didn't the Grizzlies work out here? And he was like, it's just not a basketball town. This is hockey land. This is hockey fan.
It's also the hockey playoffs right now.
I know. And here I am leaving. The last time I left the airport, I'm going through customs, and I see like 10 or 12 people standing there, you know, saying, there he is. And I'm like, you know, and I'm like trying to figure out who they're talking about. And as I'm walking past him, I look back again, and there's this big, tall guy. Just by himself, suit, looks like a businessman. Kessler. They're like, Kessler. And I'm like, who's Kessler? And then I see him like on the cover of like the paper. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh. The guy could have sat next to me on the plane. I would not have known. So that's my love of hockey. You know?
Michael?
He didn't have a three-point shot. And I grew up, you know, the Capitals weren't good when I grew up. We didn't have Ovechkin back then. Yeah. So, like, now it's like a whole different thing that they're good. They were terrible when I was a kid. Yeah. So I never even got into hockey.
They're asking
for me. Okay, got to go shoot guns, guys.
We're going to come watch you shoot guns.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.